Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, so the big conversation of the day is, I don't know whether Grand Slam Episode 2 Rampage Edition should have been 2 hours long, because sometimes it's quantity over quality. Other way around, quality over quantity. Here's the thing, though. They rarely have 120-minute shows, so who the flub cares? Just treat it like a one-off. I mean, sometimes you just can't win. Otherwise, hello, my name is Simon from What Culture, and you bet your ass we're about to put the second ever Grand Slam to bed. Or I suppose the fourth, if you want to count last year's. Don't even worry about it. I don't want to walk down that path, but let's take the finger of power, watch the damn thing, and give the good bits an up, the bad bits a down. Sting and Darby Allin versus the House of Black was our first match, and I swear, all these guys always bring the fun, and that makes me warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. Sting and Darby Allin even attacked Buddy Matthews and Brody King during their entrance, so they weren't mucking around. And so much was happening here so soon, I mean, even Julia Hart was climbing on people's backs. Darby was also being thrown in the ring, out of the ring, at one point even hit an avalanche code red onto Brody, and I was like, where the hell did that come from? And we were only about 3 minutes in here, but it was just go, 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 go. I mean, it was like they had been told, if there's any downtime in this match, I will blow up the world, which, by the way, should be the plot of the third Speed movie. And despite the fact that he is over 60 years old, Sting then got pushed through two tables. Landing looked absolutely devastating. Why hasn't someone made him the president? It also allowed the House of Black to handcuff Sting to the ring rope, so he was screwed. I think Darby Allin felt left out here, so he ran up the entranceway, he climbed up this massive structure, and he gave Buddy Matthews a coffin drop off the top. And this is what I did for about 5 minutes. I was like, what the hell are you doing? He then went for another, but Brody King caught him and did that choke thing over the edge of the entranceway, which looked disgusting. And then both of them went crashing through these tables. And Allin must have had the worst landing ever, because I tell you, he was busted open something fierce. He looked like a tomato. Matthews then decided, ha, I'm in charge. So he went back to finish off Sting, like he was going to murder him, when all of a sudden the lights went out. And I was like, well, what the hell is happening here? And when they came back on, who made, I suppose, their debut in AEW? None other than Sting's old rival, the Great Muta. What is going on? We also played this off like, well, who's he going to help here? Because again, he got into a bunch of wars with the Stinger in the late 80s and early 90s. But instead, he went up to Buddy Matthews. He did the miss right into his face and then flubbed me. Buddy fell backwards. He crashed into Julia Hart, which was part of the plan. She was meant to fall off through a table, and she missed this table entirely, and she slammed her head on the floor. I closed my eyes and pretended it didn't happen, so genuinely, I hope she's okay. This is when Sting magically broke free of the cuffs. I was like, why didn't you do that 5 minutes ago, you absolute idiot? He hit the Scorpion Death Drop onto Buddy Matthews. He got the 1-2-3, and of course, I don't mean that. Sting is genuinely one of my favorite wrestlers ever, and this was just so damn entertaining. So basically, they never miss, and nor do Matt Menard and Angelo Parker, because they came out for their match, and I tell you, these are two of the most underutilized and underappreciated people in all of professional wrestling. No one understands it more than they. They were also facing Hook and Action Bronson, which was not on my bingo card for 2022. They just did exactly what they needed to do. Like, they got a few shots in here, but basically they were put in the ring to bump around and sell everything that Action and Hook did. It was absolutely tremendous. Action Bronson as well looked pretty decent here, given that I don't think he has any wrestling experience. Like, he was running around smacking people. And eventually both he and Hook applied double red rums. The former 2.0 obviously didn't want to die, so they tapped out. And that was that. It went about 5 minutes. The New York crowd was pleased to see Bronson. Once again, I think Matt Menard and Angelo Parker are awesome, and Hook has a massive upside. I got no complaints. I mean, it kind of was just there, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And speaking of such things, Up next was Samoa Joe and Wardlow taking on Tony Nese and Josh Woods. Here's the thing. I like all these four guys. I genuinely think Samoa Joe is one of the best wrestlers ever. Wardlow is going to be a massive star in the future. Tony Nese never misses and is so damn reliable. And over the last week, Josh Woods has proved, hey, you better keep an eye on me. But I just wasn't into it. I don't know why. It probably came down to the fact that I knew that Nese and Woods had absolutely no chance. And I couldn't take this feeling away from my tum-tum where I was like, well, this is all right. But I'd rather see Wardlow versus Joe. Why aren't we getting Wardlow versus Joe? So when I put all that into my head, I've got to get it down. And I don't want to see them team. This isn't the Care Bears. However, I will say they did do a good job of it because not only were they in matching outfits, but this can't have got more than 3 minutes. They just pulverized these guys. Samoa Joe hit the muscle buster. And we were done. Also, given that beforehand Mark Sterling had gone, well, nobody is ever going to powerbomb me because I'm unpowerbombable. Wardlow grabbed him, he gave him the powerbomb symphony. I mean, you could have written this out on the card and you would have been 100% right. So once again, it was entertaining, it was fun, it was fine. So it does get an up. I think deep down, I just want Samoa Joe and Wardlow to get some proper feuds. Hopefully against each other. I think it turned out one of the reasons we did do this so quickly is because we wanted to give a bunch of time to Jungle Boy versus Phoenix. Boy, howdy, did I like this. I will say that I think Phoenix is even more nuts than Jungly Jack, but Jungly Jack more than held his own. It basically went Lariat, Brainbuster, Superkick, Poison Rana, Jumping Stunner, both guys down. All the crowd stood up and went, bah! So once again, I was like, well, I think it worked. So it really was just the coolest wrestling tennis you've ever seen. And Boy was able to reverse a Tiger Driver into a Hurricane Rana. And then Phoenix was back up just flying around the place. But when he went for something, Jungle Boy just super kicked him right in the face. And between this episode of Rampage and SmackDown, this move was just happening all the time. Phoenix then decided he was going to run down the entranceway and do this springboard flip thing back into the ring. And when he does this stuff, I just look at him with pure rage because I don't get it. But Jungle also had an answer. Well, I'm just going to give you some powerbomb. We also had this moment where Phoenix wanted to hit the Three Amigos, but Jungle Boy turned that into a sit-out DVD. And that's the point I started doing this, fist pumping, because I thought this was good. It was still go, 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 go. So eventually Phoenix hit this absolutely absurd frog splash. I mean, it was picture perfect. And when he went to finish off Jungle Boy with the Fire Thunder Driver, Jungle knew what to do. He hit the most devastating move in all sports entertainment surprise roll up. Got the uno, dos, tres. Now, I do think this finish is creeping its way back into wrestling a little bit too much, so maybe a counter is going to return, but this was just two young dudes proving that they've got all the moxie to make it to the top. I can't wait to see what they do over the next few years. It's getting an up. It was very, very fun. Of course, they shook hands afterwards, but instantly we got shenanigans because Christian Cage walked out and he had his arm in his sling because he just had surgery. And this was basically to call Jungle Boy an asshole and distract him so Luchasaurus could also return and kill him. So obviously it's going to be a while before we can do Christian versus Jungle, but I will take the dinosaur versus the boy from the jungle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com Indeed.com/host.
I mean, that just writes itself. Had a quick interview with the Jericho Appreciation Society after this, and basically they're all going crazy and they're going to celebrate on Dynamite. And Daniel Garcia was like, and he tried to talk, but Jericho wouldn't let him. And poor Daniel Garcia, man. This was like a dad who was just absolutely done with his kids. If they don't shut up, he's turning it around and they're all going home. And then amazingly, AEW kind of addressed all the nonsense finishes that's been going on recently. I mean, who saw that coming? Because we did mention this on Dynamite, and once more I said I'd keep my eye on it, and thank goodness I did do that, because it was Eddie Kingston versus Sammy Guevara, and of course they just beat each other up, they kicked each other's ass. And beforehand, Sam had gone, "You ain't nothing but a big fat piece of shit." So clearly he got the permission that time. If you know, you know, and if you don't worry about it. Tony Mello was also casting distraction the whole time, like this was her first ever turn-based battle and she needed to increase her MP. But basically, eventually Eddie Kingston was able to lock on the stretch plum, Sammy Guevara tapped out, all the fans went absolutely nuts because we love Eddie Kingston. And that was that. Because he had done it, Mr. Burns had won it, but all of a sudden it became very obvious that Kingston wasn't going to release this hold. So out came Jerry Lynn and a bunch of other officials. They were like, "Eddie, please, would you stop doing this?" He was like, "No, brah, it's not going to happen." So eventually, Cena referee Paul Turner was down there, and he told Justin Roberts, "Right, you have to announce to the crowd that I'm reversing the decision because I am sick and tired of these rules being broken, and somebody's got to do something about it, and that somebody's going to be me." The commentary also told us that they believe it ties into Tony Khan telling all the referees we have to tighten up this officiating. So surely this is going to tie into the product going forward. If it doesn't, oh my gosh, this was a terrible idea because people are going to get mad. But I really like this because it felt totally different and it addressed problems that certain people had with the product. So you just got to give it a round of applause. And now I'm so intrigued to see how this does tie in. Plus, seriously, the match was great. It's always great. Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara are great. Up. Jade Cargill versus Diamante for the TBS title was after this, and it really was a match of two halves. Because when it came to the fighting, I thought it was pretty good, and when it came to everything else, well, I just don't think it was for me. And look, not every single thing of wrestling should be for me. I'm just one bald idiot, but sometimes that's still the case. Because once again, we went all Goldberg here. Couldn't have gone more than 2.5 minutes. And after Diamante got her stuff in, Cargill just engaged beast mode, and she absolutely wrecked her. She finished her off with the Jaded 1-2-3. And I do think we have to get to the point where Jade's like, "Man, I'm beating everyone. I should be the AEW Women's Champion too." But once again, we did it 20 years ago. Why can't we do it now? If you get it right, it never fails. So that part is getting it up. But afterwards, Trina, who had come out with Diamante, did get in the ring. And she just slapped Diamante and then parted down with Jay. And this one didn't make any sense to me. Again, it's just not for me, but it did go over my head, and I can only judge things based on myself because I am me. Oh, I'm starting to feel a bit wobbly. That part's getting it down. And then Hangman Page became Willy Wonka. Excellent. Well, what I mean by that is that he won the Golden Ticket Battle Royal, so now he gets to go to the Chocolate Factory. And it also means that on an upcoming TV show known as Dynamite, we're going to get Jon Moxley versus Hangman Adam Page. What the hell is going to happen there? The other guys in this were The Butcher, The Blade, they must have had the night off, Roosh, Penta, Ari Daivari, The Best Friends, Cole Carter, Diane Hazen, QT Marshall, Dante Martin, Brian Cage, Dalton Castle, Lance Archer, Daniel Garcia, Lee Moriarty, Ten, Matt Hardy, Private Puzzle, Evil Uno, I should say, John Cena, and Jay Lethal. I think that was everyone. I may have missed someone. And I can't tell you the whole time I was going, "Please let Danhausen win." The last two, though, were Hangman and Roosh battling on the apron when the Cowboy was able to hit the Deadeye. So Roosh just fell out to the ring like he was dead. And this was probably the correct thing to do because Adam Page does need something. He's kind of been persona non grata, everything that happened at all out. So yeah, it was just another battle royal, but a battle royal was fine. Didn't really last that long. Which did indeed leave us with Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs in the main event, which was also a lights out match. I don't know how I missed that this was a lights out match, but I think I just watch so much wrestling, sometimes it all goes fuzzy in my brain. This rocked though, because I just like the feud, and the only disappointment factor of it is that Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Will Hobbs don't get more TV time. Like, I understand why they don't, but at some point, if we can just shine a bigger spotlight onto both of them, they are absolutely gonna fly. Hobbs especially just wanted to finish Ricky off for good, so he was throwing a bunch of stuff in the ring, and then he was just smacking him with a chair. And later on, he gave Starks this backdrop onto two steel chairs that were like, you know, in the sitting up position, which meant Rick's back just crashed onto them. And even I started doing this, like I was doing some kind of exotic dance, but it just looked terrible. I mean, I think they even got Justin Roberts' belt at one point and started slapping each other with it. And this is when the powerhouse busted out that spine buster. My word, he must have the best one in the game. Eventually, Starks was able to turn this around and he hit Powerhouse with a chair and smashed him with a tornado DDT when they were fighting up the entranceway. And because Will Hobbs is the Powerhouse, he went down one of the tunnels and he ripped off one of the lighting tubes. And I was like, what the flub is that guy doing? And then he took it and he went to hit it right into Ricky Starks. But of course, Ricky Starks moved out of the way. He got it and he hit Hobbs with it instead. This also led Starks to spearing Powerhouse Hobbs through a table. I tell you, tables were having a terrible night on this evening. And then somehow he picked Will up for the Rochambeau. Now, don't forget to do the Rochambeau. You grab them and you put them on your shoulder and then you face plant them. And holy crap, man, Powerhouse Will's Hobbs' neck was this close to going whammo, but they didn't do it. Ricky Starks did hit it. He got the 1-2-3. They are now 1-1 in their feuds, which means we must continue this. And please just come up with one hell of a badass match for a few weeks or a few months down the line. I'm invested in this. And I actually don't know which way it is going to go, but these guys, I've already said, are definitely future stars. Giving it up. Which did bring us to the end of Rampage. And look, I do agree with some of the criticism. Some matches did not need to be here and some felt a little bit too long. But did it feel like a special event? Yes. Does everything AEW do in that Asha Ash Stadium come across like a big deal? Yes. I'm all good with this. I had a good time. It's getting it up. Now, please do leave a comment below and let me know what you thought about Rampage last night. You know the deal. Like the video, share the video, subscribe. Go and watch SmackDown Ups and Downs, which is also live. Follow us on social media. Go to whatculture.com. And just feel good about yourself because you're a great person. My name is Simon What Culture. I'm so tired today because there's been so much wrestling and it never stops. I'll get an hour's sleep and I'll carry on. See you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.